Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I am Pastor Schulze. Today we will connect up to last week's message of Jesus in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. But first, let us pray. Father, we pray now that the divine anointing of thy sacred spirit will come upon this declaration of thy sacred word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text again says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then says one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare that was put therein. Then, said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept us. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. The first great message that comes to my heart out of this passage is a beautiful picture of intimacy we see here in this lovely home in Bethany. Jesus sitting between two great trophies. On the one hand, Lazarus, whom he just raised from the dead. On the other side, Simon, whom he had delivered from leprosy. Martha moving about gracefully, bringing food and drinks on a silver platter, and Mary at the feet of Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair in this great anointing unto our Lord's burial. The Gospel of John, as I shared last week, is filled with scenes of marvelous intimacy between Jesus and God his Father, between Jesus and his followers, and between Jesus and the sinners. I share with you that in the first chapter of this gospel, we read that the Word was with God. That means Jesus was with God. We read of Jesus' intimacy in the second chapter of the Gospel of John, where he mingles with people at a wedding at Cana. In the third chapter, we see Jesus being intimate in a conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee. So it goes on, and in the heart of this gospel, is Jesus' desire for intimacy with all of his disciples when he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then finally, at the end of the Gospel of John, we see this beautiful picture of intimacy between Jesus and Peter, when he said to Peter 3 times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So here today, we have this marvelous scene, the scene here in Bethany in the house of Simon. We find the most unusual scene of anointing to be found anywhere in all of the Bible. Now let me speak about the anointing for a little bit. I believe that there are two basic anointings that one can receive. The first one is the anointing of God himself. Once you received God's anointing, you're called God's anointed one. And of course, Jesus was God's anointed one in the ultimate sense. No man or woman should ever go into the ministry unless they are God's anointed one. Unfortunately, the anointing of God on a minister is not receiving the attention it deserves today. When churches look for ministers, they often have a list of things they want in a minister. Is he a good speaker? Does he stop in time? Is he good in hospital visitation with young people? Is he a good organizer? Does his wife play the piano? And the list goes on and on. Why don't we just drop all of this and ask ourselves the question, is he God's anointed one? The ministry is not an occupation. It is not a profession. It is not a job you learn. You can train for and do it. The ministry that represents the Lord Jesus Christ is only his ministry. where he has anointed his men. The anointing of God means God putting his approval on a man of God. God enduing this man with power and authority for the work that he, and not the church board, wants him to do. When a man is anointed of God, he becomes a mouthpiece of God, the representative of God, a spokesman for God. Now, the other anointing is the anointing of or by man, but that anointing puts an exclamation mark on the anointing that God has already given. And by it, he then submits himself to that man of God as a representative of the Lord, and he allows him, the anointed one of God, to have authority, spiritual authority, over his life. So when we anoint a man of God to the ministry, we recognize him as God's anointed one, as God's messenger over us, as God's authority over us, and so we submit ourselves to him. And now here is a blessing that comes out of it. In our submitting ourselves to him, then this anointing of God that rests upon him will also fall upon us. The anointing was generally done with oil, but the oil is only a visual symbol. The real anointing that we give to a man of God does not come from the oil itself, but from our attitude, from our spirit of surrender to that which God has anointed by his Holy Spirit. Whenever our attitude towards God, that which God has anointed, becomes negative, critical, and judgmental, then we are losing our anointing because we are no longer in the anointing of the man whom God has anointed to minister to our needs. In other words, we can only get in under and be recipients of the anointing of God that is upon God's servant by submitting ourselves to that anointed one. So you cannot live an anointed life if you're at odds with the man of God, the anointed of God. This is one reason why the Bible says so clearly, do not touch God's anointed one, because it is not only that you will do damage to him, but you will do damage to yourself. So what we have now in this 12th chapter of the Gospel of John is a very uncommon thing, and that is that we have someone, a woman, first of all, here, and then she's anointing the feet and not the head of a man. I do not find any place in the Bible where someone ever anointed the feet of another person. Here a woman anointed Jesus' feet, and her, by wiping his feet with her hair, she received an anointing on her own head. She received an anointing of ministry, here unlike that of any other woman in the Bible, and she, next to perhaps Mary, the mother of Jesus, may have been the most anointed woman of all of Bible history because of the combination of the act and the spirit. And again, I want to stress, it was not in the oil, it was in the spirit and attitude that accompanied the pouring out of the oil upon the feet of Jesus. It is in the spirit of total submission, of sacrificial love, of deep humility and surrender, of brokenness exemplified by her kneeling at Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair that made the anointing so great. For both, for Jesus unto his burial and for the woman unto her future ministry. The Bible tells us here that what she poured out on the Lord Jesus, and this 1 pound of ointment was worth 1 year's salary. In the United States, it would be equivalent to about $40,000. We observe that the disciples and others in the room were much less inclined to spend that much money on the Lord Jesus. If they would have done this anointing themselves unto his burial, they would have done it with a few drops of this extremely precious ointment. And the spirit in which they would have done it would have fallen far short of the spirit that was found in Mary. As a result, the anointing that would have come back upon them had the 12 done the anointing would have been so much less. My friend, the more you pour on a man of God in helpfulness and spiritual anointing, the more will come back on your head and on your life. And so the Lord Jesus had to deal with the words of Judas Iscariot, who said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, say $40,000, and given to the poor?" And the Gospel of Matthew tells us that Judas was not just speaking for himself, but he spoke for the rest of the disciples. Matthew tells us in verse 8 of chapter 26, "When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" The attitude of the disciples was, "It's too much, it's overdone. It's not scriptural, perhaps." But Jesus disagreed and said, "No, it's not too much. It's not too sacrificial. It's not too intimate. This is a kind of intimacy I want. And only this kind of intimacy and sacrificial love will bring the great Holy Ghost awakening that I like to see upon the face of the earth. It is only this kind of one-mindedness, of one heart and one soul-mindedness, that will cause the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in the churches so that all will believe. We just will not get revival by stinginess." Oh, my friends, how ashamed his disciples must have been when it was all over with, when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, and when later in the light of Pentecost their eyes were opened completely to see this great act of this woman, and when they saw their negative attitude they displayed when it was done in Bethany. Because of the Spirit, this anointing Spirit in Mary of Bethany, she was able to know things and understand things that no one else would know and understand. So when Jesus was talking about his death and his resurrection to his disciples, it never penetrated into their hearts because their spirits were so much filled with pride and self-occupation. But this woman, when she first heard that Jesus would have to die, she heard it in her heart. And she looked at that big, beautiful box of ointment, $40,000 worth, and she said to herself, "I will save this for the anointing of the Lord Jesus for his burial." She was the only person, as far as I can tell, who knew what was really going on. Oh, my friend, blessed are the anointed ones from the Lord. Blessed are those who anoint these men with anointing oil, putting their recognition of God's anointing upon these men. Blessed are those who, through their spirit and attitudes, are able to receive an anointing back upon their own heads that causes them to understand the great, marvelous secrets of the kingdom of God. Our Father, we pray now that you will help us to examine our attitudes toward thy servants, thy anointed ones. Forgive us for our attitude of negativism, of criticism, and of stinginess, and of carelessness, and of rebellion. We pray you cleanse our hearts so that our lives may be more anointed than they have ever been before, so that you can do something with us and through us. And we ask it in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze. We'll continue next week with this beautiful, wonderful Gospel of John. Goodbye, then, until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.